from the Gable Media Podcast Network and presented by Lines. This is Spaces, the podcast where we make sense of the spaces that shape society. I'm your host, Demetrius Lynch. Hello! Thanks for coming back. And if you're new here, welcome. This is episode 208, where I discuss why your project budget is probably wrong. But before we get into it, a quick reminder that you can find all of this information and more in my digital download called Before You Build. It's a strategic pre-design framework to help you avoid costly mistakes in common projects. In it, you'll learn how to define your project scope, what construction projects actually cost in Southern California, how to assemble the right team, what project timelines to expect, the most common and costly mistakes to avoid. You can find it now at lines.studio/store. That's lynes.studio/store. Or follow the link in the show notes to check it out. Now back to today's focus. Most projects don't go over budget. They start with the wrong budget. That may sound like a small distinction, but it's one of the most important things to understand if you're planning a project. Because when people talk about construction costs, they usually frame the problem as if something went wrong later. The contractor charged more, the city required something unexpected, the engineer added more scope, the project took longer than expected. And while all of those things can happen, a lot of the time, the real problem started much earlier. It started with a budget number that felt reasonable or hopeful or emotionally comfortable, but was not actually connected to the true scope of the project. And once that happens...
Hey, designers and curious minds! Ever wondered about the stories hiding within your building's walls? I'm Carrie Seaburn, structural engineer and host of Unstruct, the podcast that decodes and simplifies major concepts of structural design. Behind the math and physics, structural engineering simply predicts building behavior. Join me as we simplify the complex, making structural design accessible to everyone.
Nowadays, instead of measuring it via cost, we're saying, well, what about carbon, you know? We've got two levers now that we can, if an architect has an inefficient design, we can hit them with two levers if you like.
The official casualty figure is 55,000. Everybody I talked to told me that the actual figure is at least three times as much. And I believe that. I mean, seeing what I saw, Turkish codes are good and they have been improving, but compliance was completely lacking.
Fluent in steel, concrete, masonry, and timber design, I'll bring you leading engineers to dissect the tales behind their building structure. Whether you're an architect, contractor, engineer, or just love a good story, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, beam penetrations. That's a fun topic on this project.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Unstruct. From within your walls, hear the story behind how your building stands today.
Everything else gets distorted. The design process becomes frustrating because every idea feels too expensive. The contractor pricing feels shocking because it does not match the number in your head. The permitting process feels like an obstacle because you didn't anticipate the cost of compliance. And construction feels chaotic because you are constantly trying to make the project fit a budget that was never realistic in the first place. So today I want to talk about why your project budget is probably wrong. It's typically because most owners are not given a clear framework for understanding what construction actually costs, especially here in Southern California. And if you can understand that early, you can avoid one of the most expensive mistakes people make before they build. After more than 20 years in architecture, one of the patterns I've seen over and over again is what I call budget optimism. Almost every client enters a project with some level of optimism about what things will cost. Most people don't do this work often. They don't price construction every day. They don't track labor markets, code cycles, permit fees, energy regulations, structural requirements, or consultant costs. So they gather information from the places available to them. HGTV, a friend who had a similar project 5 years ago, a national average found online, or maybe a rough estimate from a contractor after a quick conversation. But the issue is this. A budget is only useful if it reflects the actual scope, conditions, location, team, schedule, and quality expectations of the project. If it does not, it is not really a budget, it's a wish. And that's where things begin to break down. In Southern California, the gap between what people think construction should cost and what it actually costs can be significant. Part of that is because California is expensive, but part of it is also because construction costs are not one thing. They are a stack of many things. You have direct construction costs, labor, materials, demolition, framing, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, finishes, appliances. You have contractor overhead and profit. You have soft costs, which most people overlook. Architecture, engineering, permits, energy compliance, surveys, soils reports, and other consultants. You have contingency. And then you have project-specific variables, existing conditions, site access, structural upgrades, utility upgrades, jurisdictional requirements, and the level of finish you expect. Most owners are thinking about one number, but the real project budget is made of several layers. And if you don't understand those layers, it becomes very easy to underestimate the actual costs of the project. Now let's break this down in a way that is practical. There are five major reasons why your project budget may be wrong. The first is that you may be budgeting from the wrong project type. The second is that you may be relying on averages that do not apply to your project. The third is that you may be ignoring soft costs. The fourth is that you may not be accounting for contingency. And the fifth is that your scope may not be clearly defined yet. So let's start with the first one. You may be budgeting from the wrong project type. As we discussed in episode 206, a renovation is not the same thing as a remodel. A remodel is not the same thing as an addition. An addition is not the same thing as an ADU. And an ADU is not the same thing as a simple backyard structure. Each project type has a different cost profile. A cosmetic renovation might involve replacing finishes, painting, updating fixtures, or refreshing a space without changing the layout. That can still be expensive, but the scope is more contained. A remodel may involve moving walls, relocating plumbing, upgrading electrical systems, or changing how a space functions. Now you are introducing code, engineering, and systems coordination. An addition adds new square footage. Now you may be dealing with foundations, roof tie-ins, seismic requirements, utility connections, and zoning limitations. An ADU may seem small, but it is essentially a small home. It needs structure, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, energy compliance, and often utility upgrades or fire department review. So when someone says, "I just want to update my kitchen," the budget depends heavily on what, quote, update actually means. Are you painting cabinets and replacing countertops? Are you replacing all cabinetry and appliances? Are you relocating the sink? Are you removing walls? Are you adding a large multi-panel door system to open the space to the backyard? Are you changing the ceiling structure? Those are not the same projects, and they should not have the same budget. This is why scope clarity is one of the most important forms of cost control. Before you can have a realistic budget, you need to understand what kind of project you are actually doing. Number two. You may be relying on averages that don't apply. The second reason your budget may be wrong is that you are relying on generic cost averages. Online cost estimates can be helpful for general orientation, but they can also be misleading. A national average does not necessarily reflect Southern California labor costs, for example. A basic model estimate may not reflect your neighborhood, your jurisdiction, your home's age, your desired finish level, or your permitting requirements. Even within Southern California, the range can vary dramatically. A kitchen remodel may range from a modest update to a high-end transformation. A small bathroom may cost more per square foot than a larger room because plumbing, waterproofing, tile fixtures, and labor do not scale down neatly. An ADU may cost more per square foot than a larger home because the expensive parts of a home, kitchen, bathrooms, utilities, foundation, energy compliance, all still exist even in a small footprint. This is one of the most common misconceptions in construction. People assume smaller equals cheaper. And yes, smaller may mean a lower total cost, but it often means a higher cost per square foot. That's because every project has fixed costs. You still need drawings, you still need permits, you still need mobilization. You still need coordination, inspections, and utilities. So if you're using a simple cost per square foot number without understanding what is included, the budget can be misleading. The better question is not just, what does this cost per square foot? The better question is, what is included in that number? And does it match the scope I actually want? Number three, you may be ignoring soft costs. The third reason your budget may be wrong is that you may be thinking only about construction. This is extremely common. An owner might say, my budget is $300,000. But what they often mean is, I have $300,000 total. The contractor may hear there is $300,000 available for construction. Those are not the same thing. A real project budget needs to include soft costs. Soft costs are the costs required to design, permit, coordinate, and prepare the project for construction. They are not the physical labor and materials, but they are necessary to get the project built correctly and efficiently. Soft costs can include architecture, engineering, permits, and plan check, Title 24 energy compliance, surveys, soils reports, and other consultants. For many Southern California projects, a reasonable planning assumption is to expect soft costs somewhere around 15 to 25% of construction costs, depending on project complexity. For the guide, I generally recommend a clear planning framework. Architecture might be around 10% of construction costs, engineering around 4%, permits and plan check around 5%. Energy compliance, surveys, soils, and other consultants can add additional costs depending on scope. Now, not every project will require every consultant. A cosmetic renovation may not need soils or extensive engineering, but an addition or an ADU very likely involves more coordination. And a commercial tenant improvement may involve even more, especially if there are accessibility, mechanical, fire life safety, or change of use considerations. The important thing is this: soft costs are not extra. They are part of the project. If you leave them out, your budget is artificially low. Number four, you may not be including contingency. The fourth reason your budget may be wrong is that you are not including contingency. Contingency is one of the most important parts of a realistic budget. And this isn't extra money to upgrade your finishes. It is not the fun budget. It is a reserve for unknown conditions and necessary adjustments. And when you are working with existing buildings, unknowns are almost guaranteed. Walls hide things, floors hide things, old electrical systems may need upgrades, plumbing may be outdated, framing may not be what the original drawing suggested, foundations may need attention. Previous owners may have completed work without permits, and it's on you to get those updated and on the record. Once construction begins, the building starts telling you things that you could not fully know before opening it up. That is not always a failure of planning. It is a part of working with existing structures. A typical contingency range is 10 to 20% of construction costs. For many projects, especially renovations, I recommend planning around 15%. And here's the key. Contingency should be included in your total project budget, but tracked separately. It should not be treated as spendable money at the beginning. If your total available budget is $500,000, you should not design a $500,000 project and then hope nothing goes wrong. You should design a project that leaves room for soft costs and contingency. That is how you protect the project from becoming financially stressful. And lastly, number 5, your scope may not be clearly defined yet. The 5th reason your project budget may be wrong is perhaps the most important. Similar to point 1, your scope may not be defined enough to price. This is where a lot of confusion happens between owners, architects, and contractors. An owner may ask, "How much will this cost?" But at the early stage, the honest answer is often, "It depends." And I know that this can be frustrating, but it depends because the scope is not yet fully defined. For example, kitchen remodel could mean new cabinet fronts and countertops, or full demolition and replacement, or reconfiguring the layout, or relocating plumbing, or opening walls to adjacent rooms, or replacing windows and doors, or adding structural beams, or integrating custom millwork and high-end appliances. See, those are all very different budgets. The same is true for additions. Adding 300 square feet to one house may be relatively straightforward. Adding 300 square feet to another house that's on a hillside or a very deep lot may require structural upgrades, utility changes, new fire sprinklers, soils reports, and complicated roof tie-ins. So when the scope is vague, the budget is vague, and vague budgets create frustration. That's why pre-design is so valuable. Before jumping into drawings or construction, you need to define, what are we building? What are we changing? What systems are affected? What consultants may be required? What jurisdictional triggers might apply? What quality level are we aiming for? What is the realistic total project budget? Once you answer those questions, your budget becomes more grounded. Let's walk through a simplified example. Let's say you have a target total project budget of $500,000. A lot of owners may assume that means they can spend $500,000 on construction, but that is not how the budget should be structured. You may need to account for construction, soft costs, and contingency. So if your project has a total budget of $500,000, the construction portion might be closer to the low to mid $300,000 range once you account for design, engineering, permits, consultants, and contingency. That does not mean someone is taking money away from the project. It means you are seeing the real project more clearly. And that clarity is what helps you avoid getting halfway through design only to realize you cannot afford what you've been planning. This is one of the most valuable things an architect can help with early. Not just drawing what you want, but helping you understand whether your goals, scope, and budget are aligned. So here's the key takeaway from today's discussion. Your budget is critical for all parties to fully understand because it is the planning tool. And if it is based on assumptions, it will fail you. But if it is based on scope, site conditions, project type, jurisdictional requirements, and realistic expectations, it becomes one of the most powerful tools you have. The goal is not to make construction cheap. That is usually not realistic, especially in Southern California. The goal is to make the project understood. Because when you understand the budget, you can make better decisions. You can decide where to invest, where to simplify, what is essential, and what can wait. And maybe most importantly, you can avoid emotional decision-making later when the stakes are higher. This is where a lot of projects go wrong. People try to control costs after the design is already too far along, or after permits have been submitted, or even after construction has already begun. But cost control should begin much earlier. It begins with scope clarity, realistic assumptions, and understanding that your total project budget is more than the contractor's price. And most of all, it begins with being honest about what you're actually trying to accomplish. That is exactly why I created Before You Build. It is a strategic pre-design framework for homeowners, business owners, and anyone planning common projects like kitchens, ADUs, additions, and small commercial tenant improvements. Inside, I walk you through how to define your project scope, what construction projects actually cost in Southern California, how to think about soft costs, how to plan for contingency, how to assemble the right team, what project timelines to expect, and the most common and costly mistakes to avoid. There is also a budget planner and calculator to help you build a realistic starting budget in just a few clicks instead of guessing. Because if you are planning a project, the most important thing you can do is not rush into design or construction. It is to start with clarity. You can find Before You Build at lines.studio/store. That's lines.studio/store, or follow the link in the show notes. The clearer your budget is at the beginning, the more confidence you'll have throughout the rest of the process. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk with you again on the next one. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Spaces is brought to you by Lines, my Southern California-based architecture and creative studio that provides services focused on custom homes, home renovations, creative office, and specialty retail spaces. Find out more at lines.studio. That's lines.studio. If you learned something from this episode or think it would resonate with a friend, please share it and rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really helps others find the show. If you have a question about the built environment or just want to share whatever is on your mind, I'd love to hear from you. You can do that at lines.studio/podcasts. Looking for similar content? Spaces is a proud member of Gable Media, a digital media platform where you can find even more content like this. Visit gablemedia.com, and that's gablemedia.com. And lastly, before I go, if you want to see additional photos, videos, clips, and other content from this episode, visit lines.studio/podcasts. Talk soon.